Hello. Welcome to the KPFK Finance Committee meeting of October 14th. It's 3:10. I'm calling the meeting to order and going to call roll. No, I'm gonna, yes, I'm gonna call roll. Not roll call. Grace Aaron. Kim Aaron. Alan Beek. Fred Blair.
Present.
Bella DeSoto, Dave Johnson,
present.
Steve Kaiser, Kim Kaufman, I'm the chair and the secretary, and I am here. Janine Roan,
present.
Michael Novick,
present.
Paulina Vasiliev,
present.
John Wanger,
present.
And Barry Brooks.
Present.
And we have a guest, James Sagerton, the National Finance Committee Chair from WBAI.
Hi, Grace. I'm here. Grace Aaron is here.
Okay. Did everybody get a chance to look at the agenda? Okay.
Yeah. I'm bringing it up.
Well, I'll read it for those who haven't looked at it and for the stream. One, call to order two, and roll call. Two, approve agenda. Approve. Three, approve minutes from September 23rd. Four, decide on next meeting. Four, comments from the chair on the budget. Report from the business manager. Seven, review documents. We have this caging credit card issue, this web income and cash flow report from NIDA. We also, just 5 minutes before 3 o'clock, got a new budget. So I'm not sure what we're going to do with that. I would like to revise this agenda from comments from chair on budget. I would like to add comments from Grace on PNB activity or actions on the budget, and from Fred on whatever BMFC is doing. Is that okay?
How about James Sagerton as well? He's also on the NFC.
Well, he's
to the extent that he would.
James is.
I'm just saying, let's not exclude him. Let's give him opportunity. Is on what I'm saying.
Yes, John. Yeah. I'll give a short report, and James can chime in and say he's an observer, but he can speak for himself.
Okay, I'm adding comments from Grace, Fred, and James. Okay, I mean objections.
Sure.
Okay. So, can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
Sure, so moved.
Any objections? It's approved. Did y'all look at the minutes? Can I get a motion to approve them?
Motion to approve.
Any objections? Any corrections? Comments? Questions? Issues? Okay, next meeting, our regular meeting is November 11th. I guess we can decide at the end if we want to do something else. I'll make my comments.
Can I be recognized?
Go ahead, Fred.
I'm hearing some rumbling noise, and I'm tracing it to Bella's phone. Bella, could you please stop fondling your microphone?
I just logged in. I just called in. I am standing still in front of my computer. Every time I log in, you say the same thing.
Okay. All right. Well, they went away. They went away. It's all gone. Okay. They went away. But now they're back. I don't know. Your microphone is lit up green, Bella, so that implies. Anyways, So my comments are that I have had, I think, two meetings, one with Annyeong, Barry, Tamara, and Anita Sims, Tamara and Anita from NEDA, and Grace was on that call, and I forget who else was, and no real progress was made. I mean, Anita had some questions about some of the items, like the phone, why that was so high, and there was nothing really, as I recall, move forward. And then I had another meeting with Terry Guy and Annyeong and Barry and Tamara and Anita. And I guess the main thing I learned is, or reaffirmed to myself, is that back in the day when we used to use our budget template, Terry Guy, our subscriptions manager, our membership manager, in fact, input a lot of the information in the development part of our budget. For example, all the mailings that I've been asking questions about for 4 months. All the mailing, we have about three or four different sort of mailing categories. And I got to somewhat clarify those as to what they are and how they're being used or not used. But basically, because Terry's not really involved with this anymore, these mailings are not, they don't really correspond to anything yet. They're just sort of some numbers on a line. But they should be in the budget template, which is feeding into the fund rod chart, which is feeding into the listener support. So basically, the bottom line is that just from what was said, and I couldn't, verify it from the budget, the new budget that we just got 5 minutes before the meeting started, was that they knocked off some personnel, and there was still a $300,000 deficit. And there is activity on the national office to get the NL budget established to know what they need and then to back down what the stations, what their percentages will be based on their sort of current listener support and based on what they can likely afford to pay. So we can't do much with this budget until that's been established. So if Grace or Fred or James want to, speak, or if anybody have questions for me, but I'll let them speak and then we can take some questions.
Okay, this is Grace. Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the National Board has met with Annyeong and Warren Nelson, who's our union attorney, and Lydia in two closed sessions, one on September 24th and one on October 9th. Of course, I'm not at liberty to talk about those discussions. The report out from the closed session of October 8th states, the PNB continued discussions with KPFK GM Annyeong Fields, IED Lydia Brazone, and union attorney Warren Nelson regarding the PNB directed cuts to expenses at KPFK of at least 30%. Other than that, the only other two things is one national board member from KPFA, Andrea Turner, requested a cash flow information from our interim CFO, Anita Sims, and that was sent to the PNB and I believe has been circulating to others. There have been some criticisms of it. It was put together pretty rapidly. Lyndon Foley from KPFT criticized certain aspects of it. So it is being revised. It's not an authoritative cash flow report, I don't think, because it has obvious errors in it. And the only other thing is Anita did send me some information about, and I can send it on to you, information about 2 weeks ago that I can send
about
it.
About what?
All the information that I have.
What information is it?
I'll read it to you in a minute. Let me find it and come back to me.
Okay, Fred, James.
Okay, the NFC met last night, and one of the agenda points was on the central servers formula that we've been talking about for the last year or so. We voted, the treasurers and other NFC members voted that the formula will use user, fund drive support income as the basis of the calculation for, you know, of central services per station. We seem to be, as per Chris Corey's analysis of central services, we're looking at using probably a 6-month average for doing that calculation, which will mean the calculation will probably have to be done twice a year. That will be to the advantage of those stations that are having problems. But as the discussion last night, it was Chris's opinion that if stations are having problems meeting central services, that should be dealt with directly and not by recalculating the central their central services obligations. And I think I'll leave it at that. Maybe James Ferguson has more to add to that.
This is James. May I be recognized, Chair?
Yes, please.
Okay. I agree with everything that Fred and Grace have said. My recollection on what our determination was as far as whether to do it once a year or every 6 months is a little different from Fred's. I think the group was leaning for simplicity's sake towards doing it once a year. I was suggesting that because we have a somewhat of a, not a really distinct fault line, but sort of a spread out fault line between COVID, post-COVID and pre-COVID, that it might be better to do it 6 months by 6 months for the first year. These things are not written in stone yet. We haven't decided. Basically, we just decided to use a revenue-based formula rather than a membership-based formula because it more accurately depicts the ability of the stations to make their payments. Right now, we're in a very difficult situation. 4 out of the 5 stations are having trouble making their central services payments. 3 of the stations are not making them regularly, so we have to recognize the reality and budget accordingly. Our next objective will be to get a national office budget so we know how much they're going to need, so we have some idea of how to allocate the requirements from the stations. It was noted that there were many, as I guess is typical in Pacifica, many legal expenses that were part of the national office. Hopefully we can reduce them, but if past is prologue, there's no guarantee we can do that, but they would be extraordinary expenses and we probably wouldn't include them in an operating budget anyway. And I guess that's all I can think of to add at the moment. And again, I want to stress, I'm just a guest here, and I don't want to take up time from the members of this committee. And I also have to add that I have my own LSB meeting, which is going to begin in 35 minutes, so I'll be getting off the call at that time.
Okay. Well, thanks, James. You know, we're happy to hear, you know, what you have to say. I would just like to say that in the revenue versus membership argument, it seems like, I mean, that seemed like a pretty non-productive conversation that went on for way too long, because while we, it's easy to determine revenue, you know, like at the end of every month, it's very difficult to determine membership at any particular spot, and it's much more difficult to get that kind of information from the membership department, you know. So I'm glad the revenue went out. Also, I've tried to make this point, you know, and I'll make it here, that a six-month review is skewed. It's not accurate, because I know it's true for KPFK, and I believe it's true for the other stations. We have thought, you know, it's always been scheduled where there are more fund drive days in the first half of the year and less in the second half of the year. So, you know, this rolling review is, you know, whatever, is created by somebody who doesn't understand how Pacifica's yearly, you know, operations go. So I hope that thing will get nixed. I mean, you got to check this stuff every month, you know, how are we doing this month, in order to know whether we're paying our six, you know, our central services. So, anyways.
This is Paulina.
Go ahead.
Can I be recognized?
Yeah,
thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got dropped off the call. I was having trouble with my connection, so I missed many of the comments by Grace and Fred, and I caught James Sagerton's comments. But I was wondering if any of them mentioned that the National Finance Committee is also discussing the fact that we need a unified chart of accounts and standard basically like an operations manual for local folks to be able to record expenses in the same categories, right? So we can look across the network and make it comparable and be able to draw conclusions from there. So that's something that's going on right now as well in the Finance Committee on the national level.
Well, I can only add that it did come up in my conversation with Terry and Anita and I discussed it, and yes, that should be done, but probably it is not in any way a high priority right now. That's sort of got to go on the back burner, and we've got to just sort of make do with the way it is right now. You know what I mean? Because it's just, it's not a priority for right now. Go ahead, Bella.
Yes, thank you. Thanks, Paulina, for bringing that up. At the audit committee, I brought that up, and everyone agreed that we definitely need a centralized, and I've been saying this for many years, we need a centralized chart of accounts so that our general ledger, fraud balance, is cohesive and concurrent. And right now it's a complete mess. And so that is not, in my view, in my book, is not a back burner item. It's a priority because right now we are working on the fiscal year audit for 19. And that has to be done. That should have been done many years ago. And it cannot wait any longer. So as soon as a centralized general ledger chart of accounts is deciphered and put on the table, then it has to be adopted by every station. And then the finance committees will no longer be pulling their hair like we do at this committee, trying to figure out where things are being allocated to. There's major confusion, and this is what has created a great deal of havoc. I wanted to thank James Sagerton for joining us. I missed the first few moments of the meeting, and I thank you for joining us, and I also missed your comments, but I'll try to listen to the recording later. Thank you.
Michael Dudasek.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with the comments about having, a common listing of the accounts. I think it's got to be consistent across all five or all seven or eight units that we have, if possible, and also year over year at the same unit, so the figures are comparable. I did have a question, and that is, do we know if the budget template was used in coming up with this latest budget? And can someone from the National Finance Committee say if all five stations are using the budget template in developing their budgets? I understood that KPFA did, but I don't know about the others.
I don't know. I haven't looked at Barry's, what he sent us today. So I don't know. But
yeah,
can Fred
James or Fred can, yeah, James or Fred can respond about the other stations.
Mary.
Fred here.
Yeah.
As far as I know, there's really no common template. I mean, we've given a one sheet spreadsheet from NIDA for the budget, and it's really very, very basic. It's the old template that we seem to have about 10 years ago that everybody was using seems to have disappeared. That's all I have
to
say.
Well, I know that KPFA still uses it, and I'm not sure about New York or Texas. So I'm pretty sure Markeisha is still using it, and I think – I don't know.
So
you'd
is
have
Barry.
To ask our Paul. I just looked at your Barry. You're not using
it. I was on the other too.
I can't hear you, Michael. Is that you, Michael?
Sorry, I messed up. I said it was still in use 4 or 5 years ago when I was on the NFC.
Yeah, yeah. They're around. I mean, we have templates around. Did you want to say something, Barry?
Yeah. The current budget is being formulated through the budget template. We have a number of templates that are included on the budget.
No, it's not. I just looked. No, there's no template on the budget.
No, the one you're seeing is the annual budget, but that those numbers are supported by staff that come into that.
Yeah, but we need the full thing. We need the full thing, like we said before, Barry. Okay.
This is James. May I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, no, all stations are not using the same template. They're not using the same chart of accounts, and we definitely need to do that. We did have conversation with Anita. We've had private conversations with her and public at the NFC meeting, and basically the situation is right now it can't be a priority because what we have to do is get the audit done for 19. We have to get all our ducks in a row to do a possible refinance of the big loan. And apparently it would be expensive. Netta would have to put an extra person on our account. It would add cost to our account. It's something that they want to do. They will do, but it's not something they're going to do immediately. Although, you know, it should have been done yesterday. I agree with all of that. And at WBI, for example, we're using a budget template that was created some years ago. I think Berthold says about 5 years ago when Sam Agarwal was the CFO. And it is different, and we need to unify it. Absolutely, it will save us money on our audits and on our accounting, and it will bring coherence to our conversations amongst the stations. And we can compare and contrast effectively, and it will avoid mistakes as well.
Okay, agreed. Okay.
Okay, this is Grace. I'd like to get back on.
Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, I sent some questions to Anita Sims on October 1st, and she responded. I won't go over the questions, just the answers. For the national office, cash flow is around $12K. The outstanding payables are running at $266,240. The largest amount owed is to NETA at $139K, and Rogers, our auditors, at $7,460. The cost of the audit for fiscal year 2019 will be $70K, same level as 2018. We are not getting current central services payments. I don't think they will see in regard to the KPFK layoffs. I don't think that they'll see any savings until December due to leave payouts, et cetera. Okay, so that's the information. Basically, an update on this, slight update, is that KPFA has sent a half a month central services to the national office. But what is happening from my perspective is that we are really sinking quickly. NETA is not being paid. There is no money at the rest of the network. KPFK really has to make the expense cuts as rapidly as possible from my perspective. There's a little bit of WBAI also has a $24,000 per month estimated expense deficit, expenses, more than income of about $24K per month. However, I believe that they will be shortly receiving a $200,000 bequest, which should tide them over for a little while. Cuts at WBAI are much more difficult than at KPFK because the station is so very understaffed and their expenses, monthly expenses, are very high, $23,000 a month just for rent, rent and for their tower and rent for their office space. So that's a big unreducible expense at WBAI with very low amount of staff members. So the problem now is at KPFK, the big problem, and we have to really ensure that that KPFK reduces its expenses considerably. I think in the cash flow it was stated that there's no money to pay national office staff payroll. So I don't know if that's changing, if money is coming in from the fund drive, but that's the situation. I will send this email to you all in a minute.
Bella, to the stack, please.
Okay, and then let's move on. Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. I'm looking at what you sent us, Kim, regarding the reduction. You have something to say, Kim?
I didn't send anything about reductions, so I don't know what you're referring to.
It says here, attached is KPFK's revised budget for your review.
You were late. Barry sent that to us 5 minutes before the meeting, so I just sent it to the rest of you. We haven't had a chance to look at it, and we're not talking about it right now, Bella. We can put it, you know, we're going to move on now. We're not talking about that budget.
Please do not interrupt me. I have the floor. Thank you. I got that. I understand what you're saying now. Grace just said that the station, we all know that the station has to make a 30% cut. The way this is going about being done is that it's being done piecemeal and is not being done in a constructive manner. If this 30% or higher, 30% in my book, I keep saying it's not sufficient, must happen immediately. This should have happened yesterday, and we're still not there. So my position is that unless immediate authoritative action is taken physically at the station, we will sink and we will need paddles. So someone or a group of folks need to come to the station and take care of the union contracts immediately so we can get rid of all these people. Thank you. It's in the personnel. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, Barry, do you have a report for us? And do you have a report? Because this is from you and
yeah,
for the
I
record.
Think,
for the record, go ahead.
Yeah, I sent you a narrative of the report.
Well, you're about a day late, Barry. You're about a day late because I haven't read it.
Okay, well, anyway, I will be
And we ask you every month to send a report before the meeting.
You have a narrative right in front of you.
So we can read it, but it does no good in the middle of a meeting, Barry. I've tried to...
All you
got to
do is send it to the rest of the members. I sent it to you at 2:30.
I didn't get it at 2:30. I didn't see it at 2:30.
You better see if you can give the report.
Okay, the report is as follows.
I see it at 2:56. That's four minutes before the meeting.
Okay. KPFK's current operating balance is $98,356 as of October 13th. We expect another $23,500 on October 23rd. And
wait, can you repeat
total...
that? So wait. So you have in the bank now $98,000?
There's $98,356.26, of which we're going to fund our payroll, and we're also going to fund the three employees that we're going to have separation pay for being laid off. So that funded that for October 15th payroll.
So the 98 is before the payroll, right?
Correct. And the total raise for this October fall fund drive is $169,525 with a 1,177 pledges. Our goal is $400,000. The August 2020 fund drive raised $279,354
Wait. August fund drive?
August 2020 fund drive. Raised $279,354, of which we had a goal of $350,000.
We never got any reports for this August fund drive, did we? Does anybody recall the August drive? Anyways, okay, so that's August.
Kim, we got the Allegiance, so-called Allegiance report off the website.
Okay. Okay. All right. I probably have it. I mean, 2 months ago. Okay. And go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Currently, APFK has borrowed $42,000 from a Pacifica Foundation affiliate to fund our operational costs. That money will be paid back by the end of October, October 31st.
When did you borrow it?
I think it was funded, let's see, it was for the 30th. I believe it was on the 29th we got the money.
Of September?
Mm-hmm.
To pay payroll for
payroll
October 1?
And other
right.
expenses. Okay.
Wow.
And going forward, due to the world pandemic and KPFK's cash flow problems, three employees have been laid off to meet staff reductions mandated by the PNB effective October 15, 2020. KPFK has now signed a one-year contract with IPFS Corporation Insurance Company for earthquake insurance that is going to be effective October 9, 2020 for 1 year. The premium on that will be $587 a month. Telepacific Communication has adjusted our billing rate to be in line with the nonprofit rate and the elimination of overlap of phone lines. So we're going to save approximately $1,100 per month for the telecom line. So that Jonathan worked that out with telecom along with Annielle. Let's see. Okay, as you know, Pacific Foundation still owes the FJC organization $3.6 million of the settlement for ESRT for the arrear payments from WBAI. We do not know at this time the plans by Pacific Foundation repayment of the bridge loan. KPFK building in Studio City was put up for collateral for that, and also the KPFT building in Texas, in Houston, Texas, was put up to fund the loan. The fiscal year 2019 audit managed by NED is in full swing, as you know, and should be completed sometime in April 30th, 2021.
Completed April 30th, 2021?
Correct. Hopefully. I mean, that's my estimate. And regarding KPFK has submitted the fiscal year 21 budget to the Finance Committee members and is awaiting approval from the Pacifica Local Station Board. In regards to the budget that I sent Kim, this budget is drastically different from the previous one. The highlight of this budget, let me mention that to you. KPFK employees, we had a 10% cut in salary. I laid off 12 KPFK employees, 5 part-time.
Wait. 10% cut in salary for management or all employees?
For all employees.
How could you do that without the union?
Well,
you
wanted to see what it looked like, so this is what we actually put forth together. We've already got the 10% cut on our salary already. Okay? So going forward is this layoff of 12 KPFK employees, 5 part-time, 12 permanent, resulting in a 36% decrease in salaries. Does not include the renewal.
12 employees, 5 part-time, 12 full-time for how much decrease?
A 36% decrease in salaries.
Uh-huh.
Okay. This budget does not include renewal of station license fee for 2021. There was an allotment of $80,000 for separation pay, employee pension retirement, and severance compensation. I also reduced the central services by 30%. So the net result for this budget that I sent you is a $5,663 end of the year deficit for 21. Eliminate the cost of Radio Research Consortium by $17,600 per year. Decrease telecom services by 40%. Does not include SAG-AFTRA contract renewal for 21. And includes the $42,000 interest payment on the FJC loan. Let me say that. Seeing if else I want to add. For the current fund drive, I sent the schedule for the average daily cost, or not cost, the average daily collected is $12,427. The highest day that we had was on October 6th for $19,958. So that's just a look at a snapshot of the fund drive so far.
What was the lowest day?
Okay, and the lowest day was $5,019. That was on October the 12th.
That was last Monday.
Right.
Paulina, to the stock, please.
Yeah, are you finished, Barry?
Let's see. I think I am, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, Paulina.
Thank you. Barry, the fact that you figured out a discount with Telepacific, that's good because I think we were overpaying for our telecom services. Now, I'm looking at the budget, and I'm looking specifically at line 11 in the spreadsheet. So that's 5752, major donor income. It says that in May of FY20, it was zero. In June of FY20, it was $1,000. And then projected, exactly. And then July was $18,500, August $18,500, and September $18,500, and then it's projected to be that same amount for the rest of the fiscal year, what are you basing those numbers on?
I'm basing the numbers off of previous collections for major donor income. We do usually get major donor income from outside sources, so that's why I had that there for
that
amount of money.
How much have you had year-to-date, Barry?
Year-to-date, let's see, major donor income. Hold on a minute.
I'll tell you, $67,000.
Yeah, $67,367 today. Yeah, but that's gonna, that's not going to be the same. It's going to change, I would think. I would hope.
Yeah, but we don't. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we're going to be that in that particular, you know, condition for a number of months. We're bound to receive something, a major donor coming down the line.
We're bound to receive something, but not over $200,000. I mean,
well, in 12
months,
you would think you'd get, you know, pretty good size amount. I mean,
you would if you hadn't gotten $67,000 this year. Okay, this is what we compare to past historical data.
Right, but that's not going to be the same because we're in a special condition here with the COVID-19. So once this is lifted, you're probably going to get a big change in revenue in this particular category.
Okay.
This is Pauline. I didn't finish asking.
Yeah, go ahead.
May I? Thank you.
Yes.
So, Barry, your total for that line item is for fiscal year 2020 total is $370,165, right? 370,165. Now you're saying that the year to date is at 67,000.
No, that number's not right. That's not
right.
Which number, Paulina? Which line are you on?
Line 11, column V.
Column B. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I just took out all that junk in the front, so my columns are different. Total. Anyways. Okay.
Any other questions, Paulina?
Okay, anyone else have any questions on this report? I do. Go ahead, Paul.
Chair is Billy. Yeah, I got dropped off again. So what's happening with my, I don't know what's going on with my connection, but everybody starts sounding like a robot and I have to literally hang up and dial back in. I've had to do that 4 times now. So unfortunately, I'm missing a lot of the conversation. Apologies, but I don't know what to do about that. Thank you.
Here's a suggestion, Paulina. Turn your phone all the way off and then restart it. Because sometimes during a meeting, my phone happens and I have to, like, turn it off and start over again because it just gets confused.
Okay, let me do that right now.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, well, I have a question. I thought you said that you had a 40% reduction in AT&T, but if you're getting $1,100 a month off, that's a little over $12,000. And on a $125,000 bill, I don't see that as being 40%.
Because that was 40% of the original amount that we were paying for telecom services.
Okay, so the total bill will be about 10% less.
Correct.
Okay. So I'm still curious why KPFA's phone bill is so much less.
I don't know what they're doing as far as I think it's totally different. Our station is totally different from KPFA.
All right. So I guess the other earthquake insurance didn't work out, because last month I thought we were getting it in a couple of days.
I just mentioned to you that earthquake insurance is going to be effective October the 9th.
I know, but we heard that last month.
Well, I don't know.
No, we heard that last month, and then a couple of days we were going to get it.
Yeah, well, it took some time. We had other things to do as far as the audit and all the rest of the things that come around.
All right. So, you know, we did recommend that, you know, for budgeting purposes, $15,000 a day going forward for fund drives. Not to be mean, but because we thought that was
realistic,
realistic based on the history. And I see from Allegiance that you've in fact budgeted $19,000. So we're getting $12,000. So I just want to point out that our estimate was not punitive. It was much more realistic than your number. And, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, on the last call, I mean, I think you intimated you were going to extend this fund drive. Is that what your plans are?
It all depends on where we are on the 23rd, or actually maybe the 24th of October, what balance we have. And what we have to pay back. So, in all likelihood, I mean, if it keeps performing below what we expect, then yes, we probably would extend it.
I don't see how you're going to make
know.
It through November.
I mean, yesterday we got $19,000. So that's a great day.
Right. That's a great day. You know, and you're still averaging $12,000 a day.
I can't predict the future.
Well, we're better at it here because we've seen this stuff for a lot of years. I'm wondering how you're going to get through November since you couldn't really get through September. And maybe you'll squeak by October. But I don't see how you're going to get through November.
We will get through November. We're in fund drive right now, so we should be able to get through it.
Okay, well, I don't see how you're going to get through November. And it looks very dire to me. Anybody else have questions or comments?
This is Dave.
Go ahead.
So, Barry, on this budget commentary you sent along with the latest budget, the first item says KPFK employees take a 10% cut in salary. Is that that's correct, according to what I've read here?
That's correct. We took a 10% cut across the board.
Yeah, so that's everyone at the station is taking a 10% cut.
Right.
SAG-AFTRA and management. Have we had any discussions? I know you can't give any details, but have we had any discussions with the union to see if they would be willing to go along with this? And we talked earlier about possibly eliminating the benefit for the child care. Has anything been broached along those lines?
As far as management, we have already taken our 10% cut. We've already got a 10% cut in our salary. As far as child care negotiations and health benefits, I don't know if that's on the table right now. You have to talk to Aniel. He's the one who's negotiating with the union right now. I don't know what the status is on that right now. But that's all in negotiation right now.
So, I mean, my comment about the 10% would just add on to what Kim was discussing. I remember Leslie Radford just a few years ago put everyone on a 50% cut. We're very concerned, based on these figures, especially the fund drive figures, that a 10% cut across the board is not going to be sufficient. So I'd just like to state that. And on the fund drive data sheet for October here, you mentioned that we had a really good day on Tuesday, October 13th, because we raised $19,370-odd. That was a really, really, really good day. But the whole budget is based on pulling $19,000 in on each fund drive day. And this fund drive sheet shows several days where we did $8,500, $5,600, $8,700, and then $11,000, $12,000, $12,000, et cetera, $13,000, $15,000. We're not getting anywhere near the $19,000, which is what the budget was based on. And as you mentioned, we had a really good day when we got $19,000. So that's kind of concerning to us.
Okay, the current budget that I gave you has an average daily collection of just over $15,000. So this was
$15,000.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's the one that we just got. Okay.
Right.
That's the one that we just got a few minutes ago. Okay, well, that answered that question a little bit. I wanted to get to the second item on your overview. It says you're going to lay off 12 KPFK employees, 5 part-time and 12 permanent. Well, I don't quite understand the mathematics there. Could you explain that a little bit better? It says you're going to lay off 12 KPFK employees, 5 part-time and 12 permanent. But 12 permanent and you see what I'm driving at?
Yeah. Yeah, correct.
Wait. What, before you answer, Barry, can you just explain, are these projected cuts or are these cuts you've made already? Can you please differentiate what you're talking about here?
Okay, sure. Bear in mind that we already have laid off 3 employees that are going to be effective October 15th. That's already etched in stone. This budget that I presented to you is the projected cuts that I have come up with to cut the salary by 36%.
Based on 10% cut across the board.
Well, okay, I just don't understand how we were laying off 12 employees and then it says 5 part-time and then 12 permanent. I mean, 12 plus 5 does not equal 12. You see what I'm driving at?
Right.
I do now, yeah.
That's what I'm asking, Barry. The math doesn't add up. This is George Bush math here.
Or Donald Trump math.
Okay, so
exactly.
you said 12 plus
5 is 17 people total, okay? And that includes the 3 employees that we've laid off already effective October 15th. The total is 17 employees, okay?
Okay, well, I mean, I understand 17. If it was said that that was the total, I just thought there was a mistake here and I needed clarification.
Right.
No,
right?
It's just 5 part-time, 12 permanent.
Yeah, well, okay, but I mean, never mind. I think we got it clear. I have another question.
Okay.
Can you tell us what the cost of the next item on your little list here says about how this budget figure does not include the cost to renew the station license fee for 2021? Can you just remind us what kind of dollar we're talking about there? What is that renewal fee approximately run?
I believe it's in the neighborhood of like $35,000, I believe.
So that's a significant amount.
Yeah.
That's a significant amount.
Mm-hmm.
And next question, it says allotment for $80,000 for separation pay, vacation, employment, pension, retirement, and severance compensation. How many employees does the $80,000 relate to?
That relates to that was more of a conservative number. It's probably going to be more than that, but that was a conservative number for the 17 employees that I was going to lay off.
So that's a conservative figure for laying off 17 employees.
Correct, because some of them are part-time, and you're not going to be paying that much out in severance pay for the part-time employees.
Okay. And, Chair, if I can ask another question.
Yeah.
And Michael to the stack after that.
Uh-huh. I just
wanted to ask on the final item, and I'll try to wrap it up with this and let other people have a chance. Final item, it says, includes a $42,000 interest payment on the FJC loan of $3.6 million. That $42,000, how often do we pay that, Barry? Is that once a year? Is that once a quarter?
Once a year,
clarification.
Once a year.
So,
that's part of my understanding.
I thought
so you're saying
months.
The KPF case contribution. Yeah, that's. I thought it was quarterly, that amount. That's why I wanted the clarification.
Well, I haven't seen any quarterly payments come, you know, through ours as far as that we need to, you know, pay this $42,000 interest payment on a quarterly basis. I haven't seen that.
But I do
know that in September we had to make a $42,000 payment.
Dave, National Office has been paying the interest thus far, and I believe that there's one more payment to go before the loan is up. So that's why it's only 42, because there's
okay,
only
yes,
one more
thank
interest
you.
Payment. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I remember that now that you say it, Kim. Thank you. Yes.
The
and that was
actually,
it for me. Thank you.
The loan is actually 3.2, Barry.
Okay.
That was it. Thank you, Kim.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I'm wondering if any thought was given to what was attempted when Leslie Radford was the GM, which was cuts in hours in lieu of layoffs, which are subsidized by the unemployment insurance, the state unemployment insurance fund. And seemed to me to be a very sensible solution. It was temporary. It protected everybody's jobs, and people were made not quite whole, but they got half their salary and then 75% of the difference from the unemployment insurance fund. So I would urge consideration of that. It's still in effect in California to prevent layoffs, and I think it's something worth considering.
Yeah, I think we all wanted to prevent layoffs, but this governing body wanted to see a 30% cut in salaries immediately. So that's why I went ahead and did that.
Yeah, but if I can complete my thought, if you cut everybody's salary by 50%, you achieve that cut without laying people off. Because they get 75% of the difference from the state.
Guess you could do that, yeah. That's a different way of doing it.
Can I ask a question and then Paulina?
I was on the start. Okay,
this,
fine.
On this new budget, are these salary cuts, the whole salary cuts, all of them, including health pennies, they're not approved yet, right? This is just what you'd like to approach the union about, right?
Correct. Uh-huh. This hasn't been done. The only thing that's been done is the three employees that are going to be laid off on October 15th. That's it.
Were they full or part-time?
They were full-time. Oh, one was part-time. Okay. One was part-time, one was full-time.
Okay, Paulina?
Yes, I also had a question about that. I think Michael voiced the concerns that I would have raised as well, and I fully agree. Well, and also I want to make a correction. I believe that the National Board mandated a 30% cut in spending, not a 30% cut in salaries or spending on personnel. I think that's a misstatement, and as far as please correct me, Grace, or anybody else on the National Board, I don't think the board mandated a 30% cut in salaries. Now, of course, we spend a lot on personnel, so obviously the cuts have to happen there as well as elsewhere, which I see it is already, you know, I see you took care of the telecom costs, like I said, was great. But, just to expand a little bit on what Michael said, I think that this needs to be done in a reasonable way, and protecting jobs if wherever possible should be our priority. And then the other thing I wanted to ask about is how are these considerations being made? Is it just on is it on seniority? Is it by how expensive each employee is? Is it by the essential quality of the work they do. You know, I'm wondering whether we're going to be cutting, let's say, board operators. Would we one day find ourselves in a place where, let's say, KPFT finds themselves now in Houston, where they don't have an engineer on the premises 24/7 or at all, as a matter of fact. And then they see themselves having to do reruns of stale shows. Barry.
Okay, getting back to what you're saying, all the above considerations were given to part-time people who were working for the station, people that weren't heavily involved with the operations of the programming. Some programmers were laid off. All the things that you've mentioned were considered. Now, getting back to what Michael said in doing a 50% cut for the employees, if you do that, then you're going to have a larger loss at the end of the year. Okay? Currently, we're at 5,663 for 21. If you come back and I redo it where I put everybody back on the 14 employees that were laid off and give them 50% cut and put them back, you're going to have a larger loss. You're probably going to have a $100,000 loss at the end of 21. But then again, those people do be able to keep their jobs, correct? So that's something you need to consider.
Right. And this, of course, will be who is the final decision maker in the layoffs? Will you be concurring with the with the IED?
Yes, it will be the IED and also the union and the general manager.
The unions, of course.
We actually have
of
to
course.
Confirm or concur with the the layoffs or whatever is to be taking place.
I understand, but that's your proposal. Okay, got it, Barry. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
This is Dave.
Dave, and then I have a quick question after Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you. This is a quick one. We're trying to cut back on personnel costs. It's a large part of our monthly budget. We had talked about some of the people that we've been paying as 1099 contractors. Does this new budget work eliminate all those 1099 people? And I wanted to also ask, it does, thank you. And I wanted to also ask about temporary agencies. I noticed an account temps line item in some of our documentation we received the other day. I think it was the accounts payable aging sheet. I was curious, who or what is the function of the people we're hiring through account temps? Do we plan
that's
to what's their role?
Dave. That's 2017.
Okay, that's expense that has to be written off, Dave. It happened way
before. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, yes, that's right. We had so many documents here. Are we in need or do we currently use any account temps or any temporary agencies for anything else in light
not
of these? Okay, thank you. That was it.
Well, I had a quick question. Now I have a longer question. I'll ask the quick question first, which is you said something about cutting the RRC. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, that was the company that provides the
I know what it is.
The
it's the rating
market
service.
Share,
yeah.
The rating
right.
service, right. And so that was a pretty expensive vendor that we had to pay for a year, so that was eliminated from the budget.
Oh, you said you just cut it back.
No, the whole amount. We're not paying them at all.
Okay, so you eliminated it. I mean, it was like $16,000 a year.
Correct.
And now,
I mean, that's
said
it was a good tool. It was a good tool to see the market share in which KPFK was competing with the rest of the competitors, radio, you know, stations, but we can't afford it right now, I guess.
Yeah. Now, I heard you just say that you're eliminating all 1099s. I've heard Tony Bates all over this fund drive. He was a 1099. So what's up with that?
Again, you'll talk to Danielle about that. I was told that we weren't going to be hiring any 1099s for any on-air hosting, such as Tony has been providing. So I don't know. You have to ask him.
Paulina, back to the staff, please.
Go ahead.
Thank you. So we're eliminating our Nielsen subscription, right?
Right.
Research. Okay. Now, how much is the initial cost of a subscription higher? Is there like a down payment or some kind of a initial payment and then monthly payments level off? Or how does that work? I'm just wondering whether the cost is justified. I understand we have to cut costs everywhere, and you know, I'm not necessarily saying we shouldn't be unsubscribing, but how much would it cost us to resubscribe?
I don't know. I think that you just, you know, you start paying the money on a quarterly basis. So when we started up in the past, we just started paying the payments, whatever that they were per quarter. So
okay, so there was no like upfront cost. Got it. That's what I wanted to check out.
It's about $4,000 a quarter, Paulina.
But let me
right, I understand that.
Let me mention that the IPFS Corporation for Earthquake Insurance does require a financing charge of $2,700 before you get into the payments per month of $587. So let me just give you that caveat right there.
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can you pay that?
Of course. Yeah. I'm going to pay it on Thursday, actually, tomorrow.
Okay. So what is the total per year? So it's like 587 times 12?
587 times 12, yeah. That's $7,000 per year.
Oh. Okay. Anybody else?
Can you hear me?
I can hear somebody asking, can I hear you? Who is that?
This is Bella. I have been asking to get on the stack now for a very long time.
I can hear you now. I haven't heard you before.
Okay. Barry, where is the account payable aging report?
I sent it to you earlier this morning, Bella. I sent it to you. Was it yesterday or this morning? He just sent it to us either yesterday or this morning. So you have it.
Did somebody mute their microphone?
Michael Novick. Anybody else?
Janine to the staff.
Go ahead, Janine.
I'm wondering if we could just have him reiterate what's going on with putting the building up for collateral for some type of loan. I missed the details for that, and I just wanted to be clear.
Well, he didn't have all the details. What he said was somewhat incorrect. The three buildings are well, it's more complicated than just three buildings. But, you know, Texas, L.A., and Berkeley's buildings plus other stuff is included in the loan collateral, a lot of other stuff.
That's
what loan collateral? Okay, what loan collateral?
The $3.2 million.
Yeah, we borrowed $3.2 million to fund the arrears for the ESRT WBAI in arrears that we didn't pay.
From 2018.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, if you want to be filled in, Janine, I can do it later, but we all know what it is, and I'll be happy to fill you in on the deets later. anybody else have questions on this, or should we move on to the other stuff?
This is Paulina.
Go ahead.
I'm going to have to leave in about 5 minutes. I have to teach a class. I just wanted to mention very generally that we have a good relationship with the lender, we're in communications with the lender, and we've been up current on our interest payments, so I don't see that, you know, there's been too much hype going on, especially with the folks that talk about how Pacifica is sinking. Whether we are sinking or not, apparently, you know, there's a lot of hype about, you know, about the loan and how that's going to sink us. I think people should just hold their horses about the doomsday scenario, you know, all the gloom that gets, you know, shared among us. So that's just all I wanted to say.
Okay. Do we want to move on? Hello?
Yes.
Yes, move on.
Michael Novick, are you on the call?
I am, but I didn't want to stack.
No, but if we're moving on, one of the items is the website stuff. So I know you have questions on that, so we can deal with that first.
Okay. Yeah, my question, should I just ask my question? Or,
yeah,
you know,
go
we
ahead.
Got, you sent, Barry, you sent a kind of a list of the website income over the course of a year, basically, the last year. And I just want to be clear if that was entirely separate from listener support or if it's a part of the listener support. How, in other words, how much of that came in during fund drives but was donated on the website, or is it just apart from the fundraising appeals that we're making people voluntarily just using the website to donate? I had asked, I sent an email. I'm curious if any of it was generated from, you know, people who listen exclusively on the web, or if it's people who are using the archive to catch up with shows or getting podcasts and so on. So I'm curious if you had any of that detail.
I don't have the breakout of that in what you had mentioned, but it's broken out by the servicer, PayPal, DonorBox, Neva, and Allegiant. So a lot of that income was being generated through the fund drive, where people are making donations through their computer or podcast. Yes, but hopefully Allegiant will be able to capture that data where we can break it out by, you know, podcasts, you know, fund drive, things of that nature. But it's all
right.
In the
okay. So, but the three columns again were the PayPal, which is you know, if you just click the donate button or something by PayPal, it's a separate donate by PayPal button. And then what are the other two?
Donor
what
box,
were the other two?
DonorBox, Neva, and Allegiant.
Okay, so is Neva is the Allegiant, or is that?
No, that's separate. The Neva is the separate entity. So it's Allegiant, Neva, DonorBox, and PayPal.
Okay, I thought what I saw just had three columns. They have the Neva, DonorBox, and PayPal.
I think at the bottom, that last entry for August, I think it said Allegiant down there, I think.
Okay, all right, I missed that. So as far as the Neva and DonorBox, you're saying some of that is coming from the fund drives, though?
Correct.
Uh-huh. Okay, all right, thank you.
Fred for the stack.
Bella, could you and Kim, well, I think Carrie gave us a little bit of different information that basically the PayPal, Neva is the online store, and it also, it does have fund drives, but it's also social media and appeal emails. But Neva is like the merchandise, to buy merchandise. And then PayPal is listener support. And Terry said that's mostly with premiums. And then the donor box is donations only, which is, he thought, sustainers. I'm still a little confused because when I look at the current fund drive from Allegiance, the website revenue is hovering around 1%. So I'm just not seeing, these aren't making sense to me. Okay, I heard some other people. Who's next?
Fred.
I heard Fred. Okay, Fred.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim, for explaining what those different columns meant, because I was very confused by that. Barry, I have a question about Allegiance. How can Allegiance have any website income, since basically it's a replacement for Otis's website for taking subscriptions? So where does the web element come into it?
There is not a way currently for Allegiance to break out the website income for Allegiance. So they're working on that. So right now, like the total raise is $171,524. In that amount of money, there is website income in there. Carrie has to find a way from Allegiance to extrapolate.
Well, my question, Barry, is how can there be any website income from subscriptions when people call in?
When people call in, what?
Well, my understanding is the Allegiance system is replacement for Otis's website system.
No, Fred.
That's not right. Uh-uh. That's not true.
Yeah, no, there's another thing that's called either PAYA or SAGE or Fairway Payment.
That's correct.
So that's the replacement for the payment solution for Otis's thing.
Well, where does the web income come into Allegiance?
It doesn't come into Allegiance. Allegiance, my understanding is, it's just a tracking device. I don't know. I don't know how you can still have Neva, PayPal, DonorBox, and now Allegiance as a separate entity. I don't understand this. I don't understand this.
The same with me. Kim.
Track the income. That's
yeah.
If you go to donate now on the website, it's actually going to Allegiance. It doesn't say that, but if you look at the other stations and you click on donate online, it does go to an Allegiance website. Ours is really the Allegiance website also, but it's given a different name. Something like KPFK, we did it, but it's Allegiance.
Yeah, we did it as another program.
No, it's just a name for Allegiance.
Okay.
So, but PayPal definitely is used to provide payment services for the website.
For premiums.
How about what about DonorBox?
I guess that's just when people want to donate.
Just for monetary donations on their own.
When the spirit moves them, or Terry thinks it's the sustainers. I don't know. I mean, Barry should know, but I don't
well,
know.
Well, my basic question here is, how does this all fit? How does this whole system fit together? And and we're not giving that detailed information. Okay.
Not yet.
Yeah. Not yet. It's down the line. Coming. Hopefully.
Well, it's coming very slowly. Well, I think that's the end of my question. That's basically the end of my question. I want to know how this all fit together.
Yeah, I think Nita would like to know that too. We're all looking forward to this working at some point. Anybody else on this?
Bella on the stack.
Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. I just exported, I found the account stable aging that was sent. And just now I am exporting it to Excel so that I can make sense of it. First, I have to rotate it 3 times so that it's in the proper view. It takes a while. And I am looking here it is. So I am looking at the vendors, Barry, and this thing, I know this is from Great Plains, it just doesn't make sense because there are very few vendors here. I see Aqua, I see Account Temp, and Dave asked about Account Temp, and why would Account Temp still be on the books? That would be my number one question, because that should have been wiped out and taken out a long time ago. And where are the rest of the vendors? So this so-called historical aging or age draw balance is not an account payable aging report. So therefore, it doesn't have a full-scale account payable listing. So
those
can you address that?
Those are all the vendors that we owe money to. The one for account temps has not been written off. It just, I haven't been gotten around to writing that off. You're right. I need to remove that. If you look on here in this document here, the schedule, you have, the total is $20,800 that's owed to vendors, of which the current period is $17,000 is owed for less than 30 days. And then it's self-explanatory right there as it goes down in aging.
I export it, is there any reason why you give us a PDF versus an Excel spreadsheet? Because that doesn't work. The PDF does not function properly.
Okay.
We need
that
Excel
spreadsheet. That's where it comes out of Great Plains.
I've sent
one from an Excel standpoint, but no one could understand how it was read. So that's why I went back to this one.
Well, I do. I am a bookkeeper, and I have never seen an Excel account payable report. The other thing is that I still do not believe that our accounts payable has a totality of $20,800. I do not believe that. That means that some accounts payable are not listed here, or they're not being recorded into Great Plains.
Well,
because
everything there on the outside. I mean, as far as internally, as far as the national office and as far as what we owe them, it's not on here.
Barry,
nobody can see that.
Barry, every payment obligation by the station needs to be set up as an accounts payable so that at the end of each month, we have an idea how much money we have to pay out. So I have never seen a true accounts payable aging report. I have argued this, I don't know how long. So I find it very difficult to believe that we only owe $20,800.74.
Yeah,
where
if I recall, in the past, I've given the finance committee members a schedule of all the accounts payable, including the intercompany for national office, in a spreadsheet.
When did you do that, Barry?
That was probably back in April, probably.
Oh, good guy. Great.
Oh, you did that in April? Is there a reason
why
you stopped? Because I did not see it.
I didn't either.
Well, that's what I gave him.
You think you did?
This comes out of... This,
you
no,
might
I,
have.
I know I did. Yeah,
okay.
I know I did.
Every month I ask for an accounts payable aging report. It's in every recording of these sessions. And I never see one in cohesive fashion. And this is just terrible. So this is no such thing as a historical aged draw balance it makes no mention of accounts payable, first of all.
It mentions it right at the top of the page. It says payables management, Pacifica Foundation, KPFK, payables management. That is for all the external vendors that we deal with that
okay.
have not been paid. Okay?
Okay. There are not, this is not list. This is not listing all the vendors. You have to.
That's all the vendors, the vendors that we owe. That's what the vendors that we have not paid. Can't you understand
okay.
that?
No. You don't have the number of payments that we have to make monthly on this list.
Okay.
For instance,
okay, Bella. Okay.
For instance,
what?
Where is Donnerbach? Where is PayPal? Where is NEBA?
Those are not payables. Those are not payables, Bella.
Yes, they handle our traffic. They are payables. We have to pay them. And they receive payments.
Okay.
We don't owe them any money.
They don't work for free, do they?
They get paid.
Yes. And how do they get paid?
We're going to be looking at that. Bella, as soon as we can move on to the next item, okay, which is going to be the credit card.
How did they get paid, Barry?
Grace, Bella, we're going to be looking at it as soon as we can move on to the next item.
Now, that
is
my question to Barry. Stop. You are interfering with my questioning of Barry. Stop doing that. Barry, how did they get paid? How do these vendors get paid? I see Allegiance. What about the others?
PayPal gets paid directly out of our bank account. They take the money right out of our account.
Okay, so that is a direct debit. What about NEBA? NEMA, whatever, NEBA.
NEBA gets paid by a check.
Good. So where is that payable on the list?
It won't be there because they're current. We don't owe them money.
Okay, but it's a payable, you see. It doesn't matter if you're going to pay it next week. Anybody
Aging.
That you That
oh,
it's a payable. Then what about Donnerbach?
Bella, let me just explain to you.
No. How about Donnerbach? How does Donnerbach get paid?
Same way. They take
the
it right out of our account.
By check. And so that means that they send you a bill and you immediately pay it? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. They get paid. Right. Right. That's
By
correct.
The way.
Yeah.
They get paid, so they have priority.
Right, they get paid for what their
no,
services, what
my
they're providing.
Question, Barry, listen to my question. They have priority payment, meaning they're not entered into the accounts payable because that is a priority payment, like a CLD. Is that correct?
I guess you can look at it as a CLD, but you're not going to look at payables. Only the payables you look at are the ones that you have not paid that you need to pay. That's what a payable report says.
Barry,
it says,
I
what
just want
do
you
I
to say
yes
or no. Yes or no.
Let me just explain to you. The expenditures that KPFK incurs is on an accrual basis, Bella. And if you can go look up that definition, it might help you.
Yeah, like I don't know what a damn accrual is, right? And you know more than me.
Can we move on, please? Can we please move on?
Yes, let's move on. We never get an accurate accounts payable aging. Let's
okay.
move on.
So, you know, I don't think Ken is here, but this was responsive to his motion about the caging, the so-called caging cost. Do we want to review that? I certainly do. I mean, I have questions.
I do.
Yes.
Well, pull them up. Pull up
the spreadsheet.
There are two. One which Barry sent and one which I collected from the general ledgers for the last 3 years. And they're different.
Because I'm open, I'd like to be put on the stack.
Well, does Barry have any explanation for these? and why they don't include everything that's in the general ledger under this category and the credit card categories.
Listen to it, okay?
I can't hear it. It turned it off.
Barry?
That sounds like Ken.
Well, go ahead, Bella. I mean, Barry's not
answering.
So
I thank you, Kim, for doing that spreadsheet, the analysis of the Cajun. So I took your numbers, and for fiscal year 2018, I came up with the $81,458.56, an incredible amount. And then fiscal 19 is $60,403.11, and for 2020, $20,537. That is a total chunk of money of $162,425.46. That is an incredible amount of money for this category. So your question to Barry, that discrepancies need to be responded to, and then I think we can delve into this.
Does anybody else have any comments on this yet?
Bill, what Excel cell was that you just read out?
Fiscal year 18, 19, and 20 from Kim, her analysis, her summary for the fiscal years.
Mine wasn't a summary. They were the exact expenses.
Yes. I separated each year. I took the total of each year. So it comes to a combined total, consolidated total of $162,425.46. Now,
for which number? There are two different GL numbers in there. One is the Cajun subscriptions, and one is the credit cards.
Yes. I am only speaking from the analysis that you did, the payment summary, the Cajun summary.
I didn't make a summary.
Yes, you sent two separate worksheets. One was for fiscal year 18, 19, and 20, Cajun subscriptions. And then the other one has everything. That's the general ledger, which has the subscription and it has the credit card. That's what you sent out. So my understanding was that you had prepared the summary.
What summary?
Well, I call it a summary analysis of the payments. The payments are for Braintree funding.
I don't know which document you're referring to, Bella. One item, and it's called, the document that I compiled from the general ledger is credit card and Cajun. The one that Barry sent in response to our questions is called, not that, it's called KPFK Cajun subscriptions expense, 218 to 20.
Yes. I have it opened. That is that was from the general ledger.
No.
It's not a balance.
No.
No? Those are the two reports you sent out. Yesterday.
Yes, one is mine and one is Barry's. The one that I compiled from the general ledger is credit card and Cajun. The one that Barry sent to explain this is called KP.
If we had proper names for these reports, then it would be.
They're proper. They're proper. They're on the documents. It's called KPFK Caging Subscriptions Expense. That is the one that Barry compiled. And the other one is what I compiled from the general ledger. They don't match up as far as I can see.
No, they do not match up. I agree.
So I want to know from Barry why they don't.
Okay, so hold on. So is the one from Barry the one for fiscal year 18, 19, and 20? Is that the one from him?
Oh, yes.
I did not know that that came from him. I thought it came from you. Okay, so this is Barry. So that's the total that I read, Fred, after adding them separately.
Kim,
does anybody
Redair.
Have questions? Yes, go ahead, Fred.
My question for you is, I'm looking at these two spreadsheets. You're correct; they don't match up. And you're comparing 3 years: FY 18, 19, and 20. And the
so is Barry.
Well, I'm looking at yours, and you have FY 21 budgeted of $25,000.
No, I don't have any budget in here, Fred. It's called, I sent it on, you know, where I sent the agenda. It's called credit card and caging.
I'm looking at it.
But there's no budget in there.
Well, I'm looking at the top line where there's some descriptions in red.
You did put it.
Yeah, there are two lines in there that are his budget. And the rest of it, as you can see on line 18, it says 2020. So we start 2020 for the credit card financing fee administration. Now, these look like credit card fees.
This is the general ledger.
As opposed to, yes. So maybe Barry can explain to us what the credit card financing fee is separate from what's in the caging subscription categories. We have Braintree fees, we have PayPal fees, KPFK payroll health fee, KPFK payroll 1031, something, 1031, 1030. Why is payroll in here? Central services, Braintree. Why is that in here? Why are payroll services in our credit card fees?
And okay, using the credit card fees for Braintree and Paya and all those get put in the 6576. Okay?
6576. Okay, say that again. In 6576, what goes in there?
Braintree fees and PAYA fees.
What is PAYA? What is PAYA?
PAYA is a source that, like, Fairway Payments Bank collect credit cards.
Okay,
they're replacing Braintree, supposedly, correct?
That's supposed to be happening, yeah.
But it's not happened yet.
No.
Not yet, no.
Okay. So why are we paying payroll and health benefits and central services in this?
Central services is not in here. Where do you see central services for 2020?
There is 11519.
Bella, stop. Line 48.
Okay.
Line
49. I have fiscal year 2020. I don't have line 4. I have the total amount, $46,397. And
Barry, pull up the document that I sent you multiple times.
I'm right in front of the document I sent you, okay?
No. Look at the document I sent you. Look at the document.
What date was that?
Well, I sent it to you last week. I've sent it to you 3 or 4 times. The latest was on the email with the agenda. The latest one is on the email with the agenda.
You know, I get millions of emails.
This is on the one that came today with the agenda and all the documents that we're going to review in this meeting.
Kim, this is Bella. Barry, as of 11/5/2019, there are several entries.
I'm doing one thing at a time here, okay? Let's do one thing at a time.
Let him pull up
document. Kim is asking to pull up the document here.
Yes. If you go to November 5/19, you'll find the entry.
Kim said she sent it to me today.
Yes, along with the agenda.
Yes, she did send them again.
Yeah, I don't see it there.
They start on line 49.
Here's credit and caging costs. Okay, I got it in front of me now. Okay, now what line are you talking about now? 48. Okay. The reason why that says central services is because in the batch, you could have a charge for Braintree of $50, and then you have maybe, you know, the central services come through. So that's why that you see that for central service. It doesn't pertain to central service. It just pertains to Braintree.
I have no idea what that means.
A lot of times when I'm categorizing expenditures, okay, I'm grouping them in by, you know, for a number of days. So if you have, for example, like for September the 2nd, you have bank card fees, you have Braintree, you have Authentic Gateway. So what I'll do is I'll enter that and put them in as a description for Braintree, Paya, and things like that. And all those charges will be associated with that particular entry. So this entry that you're looking at doesn't really pertain to central services. It's just basically include the, what it is, the Braintree is actual the actual charge of $82.80.
What is it for?
Collection of credit cards.
For what?
We're collecting people who pay donations by credit card.
But why is it
there's a service
for services? That. Right.
I have. Mhm.
But why does it say central services?
Because, you know, it could say, you know, in that particular entry, there was central services for PRA, and then Braintree charges. In particular, in that particular batch. Okay.
Okay. I don't understand that at all. I don't understand that at all. Does anybody hear?
He's batching them and he's given them an arbitrary name, which is creating more havoc.
Thank you.
But
I can't, in other words, I can't do a line by line item for you have millions of charges that are coming through the bank statement. So what I'll do is I'll group them together. By day, you might have five entries for one day. In that one day, you might have essential services for PRA. So what I'll do in the description, I'll say central services, Braintree, Paya, and things like that to get the the description of it.
Why is our central services to PRA going through Braintree, and why would that be in
credit cards? It's not going
through
Braintree. It's a separate entry in which they, let's see, 4,019. We pay PRA through a check.
Yeah. Right.
PRA, but sometimes we do pay it through automatic the debit.
This is Grace for the SAC.
Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. This grouping of expenses and of income, especially when it's across categories, makes it extremely difficult for an auditor to complete our audits.
Exactly.
We should be able to download all the data, easily, and put it in a spreadsheet without entering data at all, without grouping it, except in the categories where each item belongs. So
it's
that
not difficult.
In
it's
the
by
future,
batch.
I'm not done. I'm not finished. So when the auditor says, what is this income that came in on February 12, 1942 for $112, you can search easily for the date and the or the amount or the whatever and give the response to that. If you group it, it's impossible. It's all buried. This is not the way it just makes it impossible for the audits to get done.
It's not impossible.
This has been a major
You can reference any expenditure or any receipt by batch. You can go right to the batch, and you can see everything that's
How that's do you know what batch to go to if they're not categorized?
It says
It's marked, Grace, but this is not – this is we need to move on because we're not going to fix this here. We can't fix this here. This isn't right, and
okay, that's
you know,
fine. Just thought I would put my two cents in.
Yeah, and I'm just – this is just not the way it should be. What I don't understand is why there are two categories for payment solutions and why there is this, since they both have to do with collecting from credit card services. How is Braintree different than payment solutions? And why were they in two different GLs?
They're not in two different GLs. They're in different accounts. Not GLs.
GL accounts. I'm sorry, Barry. There are two different GL accounts, and they both have to do with credit card fees. How are they different?
Because Braintree has a total amount for the whole month. When they give us the charge, they give us the picture, the snapshot of the whole month in which we have to pay. Braintree has charges that come in the bank statement every day. They're little small amounts, $50, $300, $200. That's why they're categorized in two different spots.
But those are expenses. Those are expenses. That's not income.
Correct. And I just explained to you, expenses for payment solutions is one summary for the whole month. So payment solutions, I'm paying like $3,000. I'm paying like $4,000. Braintree doesn't do it like that. Braintree comes through the bank statement, and it comes through charges like $82, $300. It's a lot of small amounts. So that's why it's put in a different category.
But why do we have two credit card what is Payment Solutions
right now we're
and why does Braintree truly?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Payment Solutions is going away. We're not going to be dealing with Payment Solutions anymore. So
what were they doing? What were they doing?
As I said to you and as Terry has said to you, they have collection of credit cards and ACH payments. That's what they charge us for, okay?
And what does Braintree charge us for?
They charge us for collection of credit cards. And I don't think that they do ACH, though. It's just for credit cards, I believe.
But why do we have two services that sound like they're doing the same thing?
I don't know. That's how it's set up right now. But we have had some overlap, and that's why Payment Solutions is going away.
But you're replacing it with Allegiance.
No. Allegiance is not a credit card processing company.
Okay, so you're replacing it with Paya, which is a Allegiance-favored. Okay. So you don't know. The answer is you don't know.
The answer is I told you what the answer was. You don't seem to comprehend it.
Yeah, I don't. I don't understand why we have two credit card processing companies. And let's get back to 6730. Okay, where is that? Okay, 6730.
6730. Okay. So for 2020, you had 6730-1. And you have Braintree in here in 01 in October. Then January, there are a bunch of Braintree charges, which I don't understand. This is Braintree funding. And then you have 6730-2, which is more KPFK Central Services Braintree, payroll transfer, KPFK, and then you have a Payment Solutions, it's got 70
is this
bucks
on your
Barry Field. That's correct, Barry, because all you have yours.
What line item are you talking about?
Okay, I'm starting on line 491. 491.
Okay, see, there's a batch number right there to the left. If you want to know what that pertains to, like for that 1,102.74, you can pull the batch number up. And you can find out what that is. So let me find out what that is by looking at the batch, 58179.
Why are you mixing Braintree here and Braintree over there? And then when we asked you what is caging, you just gave us Payment Solutions. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff in here that's not in what you gave to us as an explanation for what these charges are. Why are they in two different categories?
Because I told you, 65 Braintree, all the little small charges are being put in 6576, okay?
But they're not. Here they are.
That's in 2020. Or what, are you looking at 2020? Which year are you looking at?
I'm starting with 2020, yes. 491 is 2020. All right, look, you know, this is a mess. We don't have clarity. Does anybody want to go on further? Because I don't understand this. We're going to have to let somebody else deal with this, you know, like Nita or something. Because I can't do this anymore. Does anybody else have questions? Hello? I think I heard Michael.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't.
Can you speak louder, Michael, or put your microphone to your, you know, closer?
I know the setting.
Michael?
Somebody's washing the dishes.
Go ahead, Dave. I'm sure Michael will come back.
Quick question, Barry. On one of these sheets here, the credit card and caging spreadsheet, I noticed that there was a line item identifying a small amount of money. I think it was $69 to Aniel DuBerry Fields. What would that be? Why would that be here? And
so see, in that particular example, he paid a subscription charge out of his own pocket, and he got reimbursed for that. Sometimes
okay,
he goes
does,
out of his
does,
own pocket.
Sure, I can understand that all right. That's pretty clear. It's just that why does it show up on this caging report page?
And why is he
because
paying a subscription charge?
Because in that particular category, it's not just caging costs, it's subscription charges, too. The description says subscription charges and caging costs. That's
okay, yes, it
there.
Does. Yes,
but,
it does.
But,
go ahead, Kim.
But none of these are caging costs. We don't do caging anymore. That is what Terry said.
We haven't done that since 2012. So these are all, and I forget exactly what he said were subscription costs, but we don't do caging. So I don't understand why DuBerry is paying a subscription cost when these are just credit card fees that are automatically charged to us.
Again, yes, and the payroll listings.
The payroll listing?
Yeah, there's some ID'd as payroll, KPFK payroll expense, and there's small amounts, $50 here.
Okay. Yeah.
Here's another one for $121.
Okay, so for example, if you could make a collection of all the charges for a specific day, you might have 10 charges, but you'll have different accounts. So what I do in the reference description is I'll say KPFK Central Services, Braintree charges, and different things of that nature for the batch. So you can go right to the batch and see what the charges are. Sometimes they're charged back, you know, because people bounce a check or something like that. You know, when they write a check, they bounce a check, so it'll be a chargeback. So those are the different categories that get put in that.
Right.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, in that case, and I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this, why would there be a $200 payroll charge like that if it's a bounce-back fee? I just having a hard time figuring this out here, Barry.
Because in the description, like, you could have a payroll charge for the 15th of $65,000, and then you could have a charge for Braintree for $300 on the same day. So in the description, it'll say payroll, Braintree charge on the same, and one batch. That's how the batch is created, okay, for one day. Because for one day, you might have 5, 10 charges for one day. So in order to track it, I give you a tracking mechanism to see what's in that particular batch. So it'll say KPFK payroll. Okay, well, let me look at the batch. Well, there it is. Payroll, we paid $65,000 for payroll that day.
Okay, so why would there be – I can understand, okay, it gets included in the batch, but why is it in the batch? Why is there like a $16.67 KPFK payroll charge? You know, how does – what would that be for? And then
because,
there's another one
right
next to
it. Because the payroll charge is not pertinent or pertaining to the $16. In that batch, you're probably going to see a $65,000 charge for payroll. In addition to all these different other charges.
Yeah.
You know, Braintree, things like that. You might have charges for Keystone Park for telemarketing. So you have all these different charges for a particular day. Okay, you just can't just go in. You have to understand what a batch is representative of. A batch is a lot of charges in one day that comes on the bank statement. You might, you know, like that. That's how it works. But in the description, I have to say that, okay, in this batch includes the payroll charge, it includes the Keystone charge, it includes the Braintree charge. So it's just a tracking mechanism. That's all that is.
Yeah, I don't – well, whatever. I don't – yeah. All right. Any other questions? Oh, where was Michael Novick? What happened to Michael Novick? Well, he can speak up if he wants.
Ever hear me?
Yeah, you there?
Hello, did you ever hear me?
Well, now I do. I said, can you speak up? And then you disappeared. Now I can hear you. Please, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, my question was if Barry can say what's the total amount of money in a given year we've had to pay to process credit cards and, you know, ACH, and what percentage that is of the money that comes in.
Okay, like, let's see. For payment solutions, I mean, we pay almost like $25,000 per year for them. And they're pretty, I mean, they were pretty pretty price competitive, but we had a lot of drop-off calls. We would lose calls on them. So That's why we went to another company called Better Answer.
Wait,
so,
that's
yeah.
not Payment Solutions. No, no. That's not Payment Solutions, Barry.
What?
You're confusing
oh,
the telemarketing.
I'm sorry, Telerec.
Well, we're payment not talking solutions. About Telerec. We're talking about Payment okay. Solutions.
Okay, well, I just told you what the yearly cost is for the year.
No, I was asking for the processing fees on credit cards and ACH. What is the total cost to everybody that we've been paying, and what percentage of the collections is that?
I'd have to look at that. I can't tell you that off the top of my head.
We can't figure that out, Michael, because they're not broken out. There's, you know, they're not broken out. So we can't really determine that is what I'm getting from this.
I can tell you how much they charge per processing, per transaction.
No,
I can't tell you what percentage
helpful.
Of them.
Yeah, that's not helpful. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm still confused why we have two services, just for the record. anybody else have more questions? Anybody else have something else we want to move on to? Anybody?
Let's set the date for the next
okay.
meeting.
Well, I see Wendell Handy on this call. Would Wendell like to say something? He's been on the call a couple of times before, and I haven't had a chance to acknowledge his presence here. But since he's on the call, I assume he'd like to speak. Wendell? Well, maybe not. Wendell, you understand you can listen to these calls because we do stream them. They're being streamed at this time, and these calls are basically for people who want the opportunity to talk to the finance committee. Just saying. So anybody else have anything? I would just like to say, and I wanted to do something from this committee, but I'm not sure we can get it together in a couple of minutes, but I found the email that Annielle sent out to our listeners yesterday calling for extinction really, really problematic. It was... I think it was inappropriate, and I just hope that he doesn't do this more. Does anybody else have anything to say about that? Because I found it really offensive, quite frankly, and it certainly I can't imagine anybody wanting to donate. And it was full of blame for everybody else as to the problems. And I don't think that's accurate or appropriate for the general manager to send out to our listeners during a fund drive.
Go ahead.
I think I heard Michael.
I'd like to make a comment to that. According to that particular email that he sent out, he was tracking the amount of donations, and when he sent that email out, we got $4,000 in donations when he sent that email out. So I'm just saying that might be something you want to consider when he did send that email out. We got $4,000 in donations.
From where? From where, Barry?
From various contributors and donors.
Well,
that's
from the website, from on air,
He tracked it on Legion, and he said that he got $4,000 in donors that came in. So, I mean, that was yesterday. That was $19,000 we got yesterday. We got $19,000.
Well, you can track it on the Allegiance for which program raised money. Go ahead, Grace. Or no, I heard Steve Kaiser first, I think.
Yeah, well, I understand what you're saying, and there were some inflammatory elements in what Aniel sent out, but I think it's time to really draw this to center stage, and indeed, I think we are facing extinction. And what Barry cites there, maybe it's enough to prime the pump, to get some people, some outliers out there to step up and help us.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I see Aniel's as well. That's all I have to say.
This is Grace for the Stack.
Go ahead.
Even though this kind of messaging may bring short-term income from a certain segment of our listenership and membership, there's a lot of evidence that it discourages major donor funding. We've heard over and over again that, I don't want to donate to a station or an organization that's dysfunctional. That makes no sense. It'll be wasted. It's like throwing money down the toilet bowl. These are the comments that we've heard over the years about the response, especially of major donors, to this type of messaging put out by our own organization. It's counterproductive. And also, it violates the employee handbook. So it's also very problematical because the local station board and the national board has the duty to evaluate the general manager and therefore cannot publicly repudiate the general manager in any way because that would be an HR violation. On the other hand, the general manager is not withholding criticism from the board of directors. So it's really unfair that the local station board, the national board, cannot respond. And it puts us in a very difficult situation. And this is also basically a pitch, I think, for this new bylaws referendum, this New Day Pacifica bylaws referendum, which is really problematical because that should be the management of the radio station should certainly not be using Pacifica resources in any type of an election. That's in the basically fair election guidelines in the past, and it's just really improper, I think, for a general manager. I'm speaking generally. To get involved with an election. So I don't know what's going to happen with this, but I think that this type of messaging is not productive. It's counterproductive. That's my opinion.
Well, I have to say I agree with Grace on this, and I couldn't think of something, but I would like to write to the LSB and to the PNB that we frown on this kind of messaging to our listeners, I don't think we can ask for the ED to review all of these things before they go out, but I think somebody should be reviewing them. I know Ian Masters always jacks up, not always, but he does go through these periods where he jacks up his listeners. Oh, I'm going to be taken off the air. And you know, he'll have one day of lots of donations. And then it's back to the same old. And it's just, you know, you don't hear this on KUSC or KCRW. I mean, it makes us look creepy. Creepy. I mean, donate to us because we're going out of business, you know, 2-for-1. I mean, as opposed to like, yeah, we're providing you a service, like, and we really need your help now. They're not providing a service. They're just doing round-the-clock fund drives and using tricks to jack people up. I don't see it as, anyways, I mean, I don't know if there's any appetite to put together a statement from the Finance Committee, but I think that's what it deserves.
Yeah, this is Michael. I think, you know, from the Finance Committee, what I suggested was, that it's even hard to assess the accuracy of what's in there without having, sort of clear, verifiable financial figures for what our actual expenses and actual income are. I do think that, you know, three of the five Pacifica stations operate on a much smaller budget than KPFK does with a much smaller staff. So the idea that having to reduce our budget, our expense to correspond with what we're able to raise does not mean we're on the brink of extinction because, so to me, also, it doesn't, in other words, if he's somehow going dark, that doesn't solve any of the problems that are raised. Somebody just dropped off the call. I don't know.
No, somebody's got their email program open that keeps pinging every time they get an email.
Yeah, in other words, if we went dark, we still would have all the obligations and no income whatsoever. So I didn't understand it really.
Except for I concur that it sounds like, more of this, promoting these new bylaws because, but the fact is, there's been very little oversight from KPFK's LSB for the last 5 years. So the decisions that have been made are all on management. You can't pay your bills. Nobody was forcing you to not look at your finances for the last 2-3 years and go, whoa, we're in trouble. We got to cut back. I mean, you don't need, any outside help. You disdain the finance committee. You disdain the PNB. Well, fine, but it's your responsibility to make sure you can pay the bills going forward. Nobody forced you to run into arrears like this. Anyways, do we want to do anything about it except for just vent?
Well, I want to make a comment about what you just said. In addition to what we are undertaking, in the last year, we had to also undertake putting our employee pension fund back current, and that cost us like $182,000. Also, we had to pay back CPB money of $43,000 for fraudulent reporting of numbers to the CPB. Okay, and in addition to that, we had to go through the layoff of Jerry Quickly and Jonathan Scheer. So you have to throw that into the mix too. It's not just the station underperforming. There's a lot of things that are going around that are affecting our bottom line. And those are very big numbers right there.
Yeah, Barry, and the answer to that is you got $550,000 last year, free money. So all of these expenses could have come out of that, and you're still running a deficit, okay? That was free money. So the CPB and payoff of those staff people and the pension, that was free money. You were not able to still pay your bills.
We were still paying our bills last year.
You had over $100,000 deficit at the end of the year. You didn't pay central services, and you still ran 138 fund drive days.
Correct.
So I don't want
right.
to hear
you're right
it.
About that.
Yes, I am.
But
so you, I don't want to hear
but,
it about
but if you
these
throw,
other things.
But if you take those items away, that makes a big difference. If it didn't occur.
Take what items? Yeah, if you take the,
what
the
I mentioned,
half a million dollars
what I mentioned
that
to
you.
What I mentioned to you.
But you still had $500,000 of free, like, unexpected revenue.
Hallelujah.
And you still
That's to our benefit. That's to our benefit.
Oh.
Exactly.
Yes, it is
through
to your benefit, but
through
you should have used that to, yes, $500,000, Barry. You still ran a deficit and had 138 days of fund drive.
Yes.
And so you
That's
paid
right.
the pension, you paid the other stuff. It was way less than what you got in bequests. So all I'm saying is don't blame the finance committee or governance. This was on you. This was on management to not see this going forward. Okay? That's all I'm saying. And I don't like blaming other people for management's fault.
I just want to say that we did do some necessary cuts a year ago beginning in October. We saw the numbers. I told Danielle about the numbers. The underperforming fund drives and the total revenue being reduced by 20%.
So we went out and tried to cut back our expenditures as much as we could while still trying to maintain our station and to run a successful fund drive going forward with the personnel that we had.
Okay,
so it's not
didn't
like,
it didn't happen.
We were like sitting around twiddling our thumbs because we weren't. We were cutting back.
Well, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. I mean, it didn't happen. And it's not the board's fault, you know.
We're not saying it's your fault. We're not saying it's your fault. We're just
saying
there
are a lot of different... That's what the email said. That's what the email is doing. It's blaming bad governance. You know, this is what the new bylaws is all about. It's all bad governance. We're good. They're bad. That's what that email is about, Barry. You may not understand the politics going on, but that's what we're hearing, and we don't like it.
Okay. Well, I don't blame you. There's a lot of blame to go around. I mean, there's
there
a lot.
There sure is. There sure is. But
you just can't
email
point to one person.
That just blames the board is not appropriate, in my opinion, coming from the general manager, when that's not accurate. Because he's had no oversight, or you, in 3 years. So I don't really, you know. Does anybody have anything else to say? Because I think we're about done here, unless somebody wants to make a statement from this committee, which I can't think of. That wouldn't be too vile to put forward.
Yeah, we have a governance.
I guess not.
We have a governance meeting in an hour and a half.
Well, all right. Okay. Well, if nobody has anything else to say, I mean, we can adjourn. I guess we're adjourned.
Next meeting.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave. So our next meeting is like November 11th. I don't see any point in having a meeting in, you know, a week or two because we can't do anything on this budget until Central Services and, you know, the salaries are stabilized. And so, I don't know, anybody else? Was that Michael trying to speak up?
Is that going to be at 3 or 4 o'clock on November 11th?
Well, they've all been at 3 o'clock.
Oh, they're all at 3 o'clock now?
Yeah, we changed that months ago to accommodate Paulina because she has to leave early.
All right, I got it now, thank you.
Okay.
This is Dave.
Dave, go ahead.
Well, I'd like to mention that the website states that we are still meeting at 4 o'clock at the radio station, and maybe somebody from KPFK can change that.
Janine, can you do that? I don't have access to the website.
I don't have a problem doing it. I have not been putting the Finance Committee on the website. Somebody else has been doing it. So it's easy enough, though, to switch.
Who's doing it? Fred? Fred, are you doing it?
No. Not on the KPFK.org website. KPFTX, I did it on KPFTX.
Yeah, so Fred and I have access to KPFTX, but so I don't know how it's been getting up there. But,
I'd like to mention that it's wrong, and it says 4 o'clock. It says we're meeting at the station. So
right.
I want to point it out to someone, that's all.
Right. I guess you could say, thank you, Dave. Say at 3 o'clock we're meeting by teleconference, and it's streamed at, you know, it's streamed on KPFTX. You know, at this time, and the audio will also be on KPFTX. And that's pretty much it.
By the way, we have 5 listeners listening in on KPFTX.
Oh, glory. Glory, hallelujah. Hello out there. I hope you're having more fun than we are. Yeah. I'll probably get some nasty emails after this, you know, chiding me for something. But I'm glad for I'm glad people are involved. Well, somebody was going to say something?
Next meeting.
Dave?
Next meeting.
I guess November 11th. November 11th. I don't see any reason to meet earlier. We can't do anything. You know, we're not going to get even the September financials, you know, for a while because they're cleaning up, you know, the end of year, and that's taken a little bit longer. So, you know, I mean.
So that is Veterans Day, November 11th?
It is.
No. At least it's after
It's not
Halloween.
A national holiday, is it?
No.
It's not a national holiday, is it?
It's not a one of the big federal holidays, no. It's a second
right.
tier. Like Martin
yeah.
Luther.
Well, we can have a moment of silence or something. I mean, we have.
Well,
we can. Okay, one at a time. One at a time. I heard Michael, then Fred, then somebody else.
I said, as far as I know, the post offices and the banks are closed on Veterans Day.
I don't think Barry has the day off, do you, Barry?
Probably lost Barry.
No, I don't. I don't have that day off.
Okay. So that's pretty much, I don't see any reason not to have it on that day.
Fine.
Who was next, Fred?
I have nothing to say.
Oh, okay. Dave, did somebody else?
I was just going to say, as long as Barry is working and the station's not going to be closed, that's fine. I just was pointing out it
yeah.
was Veterans Day.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Dave. There's nothing we can do. I mean, there's really nothing we can do. You know. So, guess we're adjourned. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Slogging through this stuff.
Typically a perfect way.
Pardon me, Steve?
Good night.
Thanks for doing a good job in your typically acerbic way.
Yeah. Well, I am who I am, you know.
As we all are.